Take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Grace Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to start with the whole issue of the preeminence of prayer. What is prayer? In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve fell into sin. And you see that God cursed them. From verse 16 to 19, God cursed Adam and Eve. But my problem is not with the curse. My problem is the fact that Adam and Eve never asked God to reduce the curse. Then in Genesis chapter 4, we are told that God cursed Cain from verse 10. Let's look at it.
Genesis chapter 4 from verse 10. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you wet the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear."
Let's all read it. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear." This is the first attempt of human beings to pray. Adam and Eve could have said the same thing to God, but they did not. Cain told God, "My punishment is more than I can bear." After killing his brother, he was the first murderer on this earth, but he could pray. And what happened? What did God do? Okay, let's finish Cain's prayer.
"Today you are driving me from the land, and I'll be hidden from your presence. I'll be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me."
And what did God do?
"But the Lord said to him, 'Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over.' Then the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who found him would kill him."
God answered this insolent prayer. I want you to remember that Cain not only killed his brother, but when God asked him, "Where is your brother?" he told lies that, "I don't know." And yet God worked on the punishment when Cain asked him to. There are many examples of such people in the Bible. One of the worst kings in the whole Bible is King Ahab. The Bible says in 1 Kings 21:25 that of all the people who sold themselves to do evil before the Lord, there was nobody worse than Ahab. His wife Jezebel was quite worse, and she helped Ahab to be bad. But when God cares, okay, you can read it for us.
"There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. Edged on by Jezebel, his wife.
Edged on, pushed on. You know, your wife can really be a person who helps you to steal, who helps you to kill others. Your wife can be somebody who helps you to do bad things. Yes. And let's see what 26 happened. Anyway, and 27, I will just have to tell you what it is.
When I have heard his words,
yes,
he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly.
What happened?
Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I'll not bring this disaster in his day, but I'll bring it on his house in the days of his son.
Do you see? Ahab was so bad, so wicked, and the wife was worse. But when they killed Naboth for his vineyard, and God sent the prophet Isaiah to go and to tell him that, look, I'm going to make you like toilets. I will wipe you out as a man wipes a dish and turns it over and cleans it. I will destroy your family. I will put a curse on you. Dogs will lick your blood. And then Ahab fasted, put on sackcloth, walked humbly before. And God said, hey, have you seen my servant Ahab? You see how he's what? I won't let this thing happen in his days. Let me tell you. The worst human being on earth, when you start praying, heaven listens. There are many things you are carrying now. If you pray, God will remove them. There are many things happening in your life now. If you pray, God will reduce the cost that is on your life. Even some of the curses, God will hear you if only you will pray. Because Cain prayed. Insolent prayer. My punishment is greater than I can bear. But God said, okay. Okay. Ahab. And the list goes on. Very bad people in the Bible. They prayed. And God answered. What about me? A child of God. Indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Can I not take hold of the living God? And move heaven? Look at David. He killed Uriah for his wife and took the wife in. And God kept quiet. And after the baby was born, almost a whole year after the sin, he sent Nathan to tell him that, beauty, I haven't seen this thing. Beauty, I haven't seen this thing. The child will die. I will bring a sword into your house. You slept with somebody's wife secretly. People will sleep with your wife openly. And I will make sure that blood will come. And the punishment kept on. The Bible says, David fasted 7 days, put on sackcloth and lay on the ground before the Lord. What happened? On the 7th day, the child died. And he asked, why are you whispering? Is the child dead? Say he's dead. He got up, had his bath, and ate food. That child died, but the child who was born by Bathsheba is Solomon. Solomon became king and grandfather of Jesus Christ. There is no sin, no curse, nothing so bad in your life that God cannot change and do something about. We waste our lives because we don't pray. We waste our lives because we don't pray. But that's just my introduction. Prayer is key because there are three persons in one God. Two out of the three pray. Let's read, first of all, Romans. We are reading Romans chapter 8. Let's read Romans 8, 26, 27, and 34. After that, we shall take Hebrews.
Romans 8, 26, 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us.
The Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us. God's Spirit is a prayer warrior.
With groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
34
says, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus. Who died? More than that, who was raised to life? Is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is on earth, in us, interceding to the Father for us. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Jesus is interceding for us. Jesus is daily interceding for us. The Holy Spirit is daily interceding for us. God prays. God the Father is the one who is hearing prayer. Jesus is interceding. The Holy Spirit is interceding. A Christian who does not pray, half your life is gone. Hebrews chapter 7.
Hebrews chapter 7.
Verse 25 and 26.
25 and 26 say, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him.
Muhammad is never able to save completely. Buddha cannot save completely. Jesus is able to save completely. And they give us the reason why.
Because he always lives to intercede for them.
Because he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives to intercede. He always lives to intercede. He always lives to intercede. He always lives to intercede for us. Therefore, he is able to save you to the uttermost.
Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens.
Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me? Look, after the death of Jesus and resurrection of Jesus, he should be on holiday now. He should be on vacation. Because of the intensity of the sacrifice he made. But now, he is busy in heaven, interceding for us. Whew. I want to just say three things out of this. The first is that any Christian who does not pray is resisting the Spirit and grieving the Spirit and vexing the Spirit. Because Jesus is interceding for you always. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you with groans which cannot be uttered. Therefore, the power to pray is already in every Christian. Does it make sense? Please, do you understand? Yes, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you is always interceding. Jesus, who is your husband at the right hand of heaven, is always interceding. Therefore, if you are a Christian and you don't feel like praying, you must know that you are resisting the Spirit. Because prayer should be a natural flow out of you. Two, you must understand that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are the only people who know God as God. You and I, from Africa, What do we know about God? We don't know him. We don't know him. And they know that the only thing which prevails with God, the Father, is prayer. If you are coming to me now, and you tell my wife why you are coming to me, she can give you an answer just as I will give you. Because she knows me. Therefore, the two people who know God most are Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit. And they are always praying to the Father. Therefore, they know that the Father, the only thing which prevails with the Father is prayer. The third point I want to make out of this. Is that there must be something in prayer which we human beings do not understand. Full stop. Many times when you are praying, it's like you are talking to the air. It's like you are a mad person. It's like you are a caricature, a monkey, a baboon, chimpanzee. You alone laughing to yourself, crying and these things. And you know, but there is something inside prayer that human beings never understand until we get there. So, we are told how human beings began to pray. The last two verses of Genesis 4. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. This verse carries a secret. The secret is in the name of Enosh. Enosh means weak. Weak. Men recognized that they were weak. And they started calling upon God because they saw that they were dependent on God. And they needed God's help. They needed God's wisdom, God's strength, God's advice. They needed God's power. They needed, man needed God. But from the time of Adam, men, from the advice of Satan, thought that they could become God. And therefore, they won't need God. So, they operated from the angle that if I eat this fruit, I will become like God. And I won't need God. Any human being who does not pray is telling God, I don't need you. I don't need you. I don't need you. I can do it on my own. Why are you troubling me to pray? I am self-sufficient. I have enough power on my own to handle these things. Or I have contacts. Look, I have somebody in parliament. The chairman of the Bank of Ghana is my uncle. Therefore, I don't need you, God. I don't need you. Anybody who doesn't pray, who doesn't call upon the name of the Lord, is because you feel self-sufficient. Prayer is that communion with God, that communication with God, that talking with God, that fellowship with God, that tells God that I am weak. I am dependent on you. I want to share my life with you. I want you to be part of my life on this earth. I need you and I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your sustaining power. I need you every day, every hour, every minute, every second. I need you. This is why I pray. Amen. Now, I would like to talk about unceasing prayer. When we talk about unceasing prayer, what are we talking about? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Yes. Shall we all read it? NIV. Pray continually. Again, pray continually. Then Luke chapter 18, verse 1.
Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
What did Jesus tell his disciples? They should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Jesus says to his disciples, you should always pray and not give up. 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 Jesus told a parable to his disciples and said they should always pray and not give up. Hallelujah. Unceasing prayer is building up that habit as a Christian, that discipline as a Christian, so that you pray always, whether you feel like praying or you don't feel like praying. That's the meaning of unceasing prayer. You carry about with you a spirit of prayer, so that whether you feel like praying or you don't feel like praying, you discipline yourself and pick up the habit of praying without stopping. That is unceasing prayer. Hallelujah. Now, why is unceasing prayer important? We must understand that there are some prayers, immediately you pray, the answer comes from God. But there are some prayers, there is no way to get an immediate answer from God. And because the God and Father we serve is like that, both Jesus and the Holy Spirit, from the examples we have read, are always interceding with Him. Because He is a God who constantly wants to be told, to be reminded. He wants you to refresh His memory as if He has forgotten. Therefore, the scripture says we need unceasing prayer until we get what we are asking from God, or we get His answer before we stop. Let me come again. Unceasing prayer is important because the Bible is painting the picture of a father who is prepared to give his child the very best, but he pretend is not a good word. He sometimes makes as if he has forgotten what you told him. And he constantly needs to be reminded. I am also a father. I have 5 children. There are some times my children tell me certain things. And because I'm human, I forget. It's not that I don't want to give it to them. It's just that I'm busy about other things and I forget. Sometimes too, when they ask me and the thing is difficult or big, I need time to position myself to do it for them. And sometimes when they ask me, I really want to see whether they need it or they just want it. Because there are times when your children ask you for certain things, you rush and buy it for them, the toy or something, and they don't use it even once. So really, it's a want, not a need. But if they keep asking over and over, it makes me see that the thing is a need, not just a want. Shall we read the following passages? Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 and 7.
Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 and 7. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem.
I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem.
They will never be silent day or night.
They will never be silent day or night.
You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her praise of the earth.
Now, there are 3 big things I want to bring out of this passage for you. You can see them. You don't need a pair of spectacles. He says, I, God, have placed watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, I like the King James Version better. He says, you who put God into remembrance, give yourselves no rest. But the point is made. The first point I want you to see here is that you, the person who is calling upon the name of the Lord, the scripture says you should not keep silent. You should give yourself no rest. Don't keep silent. Don't give yourself rest. Don't be silent. Don't give yourself rest. Don't be silent. Don't give yourself rest. Don't be silent. Don't be quiet. Don't give yourself rest. Don't give yourself rest. Which version is that? ASV. Thank you. This is American Standard Version. You see, ye that are Jehovah's remembrances. Say it, Jehovah's remembrances. Jehovah's remembrances. I am a Jehovah remembrancer. You that are Jehovah's remembrances. Take ye no rest. Take ye no rest. Take ye no rest. Take ye no rest. Take no rest. That's the first one. But the second one, which is even bigger, is give God no rest. 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 Hallelujah! Heaven has given us passport, visa, to give God no rest. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is why I love the Bible. Sometimes when I read it, I just get up and walk around the house. It is in the Bible that we should give God no rest. Then you are carrying your problem because you are not serious. You are not serious. Eh? What do you need? What do you need from God? Christ-likeness. Eh? Your gift, spiritual gift to be developed. Eh? What are you talking about? Eh? It's possible to be here and evangelize Turkey. Yes. It's possible. Give God no rest. Give God no rest. You never see your childhood. When my sister's mother-in-law died, we went to Kofridia for the burial. A certain lady from my family who saw my childhood came. And she told us the story that we went to the market and I was with my mother and I said I would eat chicken. And at first when I said it, everybody said, oh, but you can't eat a live chicken. So you have to go home so that they cook it for you. And at first they tried to explain, but I didn't understand. So I started weeping. And I fell on the floor in the market. And I'm madu koklo. I will eat fowl. I started shouting. The whole market, everybody was looking at my mother and myself. I will eat fowl. Until finally they had to buy both loads for me before I stopped the weeping. You see, heaven has given us license to embarrass God and give him no rest. Knock. Midnight, you knock. 1 a.m., knock. 2 a.m., knock. 3 a.m., knock. You carry your problems because you are not serious. Because the problem is not more bothering you. The scripture says, give God no rest. Give God no rest. Give God no rest. Give God no rest. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for such an open door that human beings can enter your office at any time and give you no rest. And the third thing I like in this passage is till he established, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Till the day he does it, you can relax. Until he does it or answers, you don't stop. Unceasing prayer. Now, that is the Old Testament. Let's look at the counterpart in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Let's start from verse 1.
Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples.
A normal Jew prays 3 times a day. A normal Jew. Therefore, these disciples, it's not that they were not praying, but the prayer life of Jesus shocked them. Because you can see that it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place that when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. You see, Matthew makes the same point in Matthew chapter 6. But he does not tell us that it was after Jesus was praying that the disciples were moved to ask him Oh, Master, why do you pray like that? Teach us how to pray. And Jesus started.
You know
the passage, but let's read it for effect.
Yes. He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation."
Yes. Now he is coming to teach them. You see? He's given them the formula. Now he's coming to teach them. Let's read what he said.
Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs."
Listen, brothers. If it were the devil telling this story, I would be a little worried about the story. My worry is that this is a friend. And in Jesus' country, if somebody calls you a friend, it means he trusts you and can tell you his difficulties and problems and joys in a way which only a friend should hear. So at midnight, this friend had a visitor. And there was no food in the house. Such a thing, you don't just go and tell anybody because it's a shame. So he went to his friend. He looked among all his friends and he saw that there was one who he trusted enough to be naked before him and said, Go. It's me, oh. I said, go, what is it? Oh, something is catching me tonight. I have a friend who has just come from a journey. And he has come to lodge with me. Everybody knows that you should be hospitable. I should put something before him. But there's not even one loaf in the house. That's why I came to beg you to give me. The man did not say, I don't have loaves. He had the loaves. But he said that it's too late. I am in bed. My children are in bed with me. I don't want to wake them up. And therefore, I cannot get up and open the door and give it to you. Then the friend said, Go, it's me, oh. Go. Ow, it's me, oh. Oh, go. Ah, go. This guy continued until the man got up and said, take as many loaves as you want and leave me alone. Remember that the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus was answering the question. Prayer which moves heaven. God, even if God is your friend, there are times you ask him something, he has the thing. But only unceasing prayer can wrestle the thing out of heaven for you. Only unceasing prayer can wrestle the thing out of heaven for you. There are a lot of Christians who will never receive certain things until they die. You go to heaven and you see your room packed with things God could have given you when you were on earth, but you didn't have enough time to give Him no rest and take no rest for yourself until He gives them to you. But let's read the second. You see, one small question. Look at Jesus' answer. Yes.
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you.
Ask! 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 You have not because you ask not. James 4:2. Ask! 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 It will be given to you. Ask! It will be given to you. Ask! 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 It will be given to you.
Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you.
Yes.
For everyone who asks receives.
Did you hear that? How many people receive? You see, science, iPad, Facebook, mobile phone, internet, they have killed our desire to call upon God. Every day you are playing some computer game. Every day. You are on internet. WhatsApp. Free call. You see, you prefer to have free call to your friend the whole night than to call upon God. Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Yes.
And to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Is there a door locked in your life? Is there a door which has been slammed in your face in life? Knock. 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 God is nobody's friend you can put in your pocket. You must learn how to pray. And take hold of Him. And knock. He will open. Yes. Then He gives another parable.
Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?
Let's vote. Which father, your son asks you for fish, then you get parceling paper and parcel snake and give it to him? Who will do that? This is Jesus speaking, not the devil. Yes.
Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion.
Is that better? You see, you ask your father for egg. Then he takes a scorpion, ties it nicely, wraps it, and gives it to you. Do wicked human fathers, do they do that?
If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
You see, Jesus is teaching His disciples unceasing prayer. If Jesus prayed before He got the results from heaven, if you can find a way by which you will be on internet the whole day, and on your iPad the whole day, or WhatsApp the whole day, and get the same results from heaven, then it means you have found a secret which Jesus didn't know. You've got a spiritual shortcut, Solomon, which Jesus didn't know. And then let's go back to the Luke 18. If anybody on this earth should not pray, it's Jesus Christ. Because He was born of the Holy Spirit. Even at the time of His birth, angels were calling Him Lord. while he was in the manger. And by age 12, he was amazing people with his wisdom and answers. Mary had all the stories of the angel who came and told all types of things. And he himself, Jesus himself, knew that he was God come in the flesh. Therefore, if anybody should not pray, it's Jesus who will not pray. Because the father is his classmate. They are both old boys from Achimota. So he can just walk in and say, this. But Jesus' prayer life, and this is the key he's giving us. Yes.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
Yes.
He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men.
This judge, he does not fear God. He doesn't fear men. He doesn't care. Can you see such a judge? Yes.
And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea. Grant me justice against my adversary.
In society, in the Jewish society, the lowest person was the widow. Because the men were the respected people in society. And a woman was not taken to be anybody. In fact, pious Pharisees, when they wake up in the morning, they thank God first that they are not Gentiles, uncircumcised Gentiles. Second, that they are not dogs. Third, that they are not women. So if you are a widow, your husband is dead, and you are coming before a judge who doesn't fear God, does not fear men, then what? Your case is hopeless. Your case is finished. Yes. How did she win her case?
For some time, he refused.
Let's all say that.
For some time, he refused.
Again.
For some time, he refused.
Yes.
But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.
Ooh, hallelujah. Is that not beautiful? It's coming from the mouth of Jesus. And he is, in this parable, making God, painting God in the worst picture. This is the third time Jesus is doing this to God the Father. He is painting God black. First, as the friend who didn't want to help his friend at midnight. Second, as a father who gives a scorpion when you ask him for an egg. Now, he has come to an unjust judge who doesn't fear God or man and therefore will not mind a widow who wants justice. At first, he refused. But because of continual bothering, he says, I will get up. I will get up. And I will help this woman. Your problem, the problem you are carrying, is there because you don't know how to pray. Unceasing prayer gets from God things which ordinary prayer cannot get from him. We have a God who wants you to carry in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul, what you want from him. So that when you are in the bathroom, you will be praying. When you are in the trotro, you will be praying. When you are at work, your spirit will be praying. When you come back home, when you are talking with people, when your heart will be shooting up prayer to God. Oh, Father, please, my exam, so please, Father, this besetting sin, I just have to get out of it. Father, I have to stop. Father. Then, gradually, heaven begins to say, what is he saying at all? So you see Daniel, he was fasting for 21 days, according to Daniel chapter 10. Okay, please finish this. And the Lord said,
listen to what the unjust judge says.
Ah.
And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?
I tell you,
he will see that they get justice and quickly. Please. However, when the Son of Man comes,
yes,
will he find faith on the earth?
Do you think those of us in this room alone can pray and change Ghana? How many people believe it? Okay. My job is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you remember? For me, my policy in life is that if I trouble God about something sufficiently, even if he says no and refuses, I know I will get some good results. Because Moses struck the rock twice when God said he should speak to it. And God said, you won't go to Cana. And three times, Moses said, oh God, this beautiful land, I have come this far. Please, let me walk and get to the land. And God said, no. Then the second time, God said, no. The third time, then God said, don't speak to me about this thing again. Don't talk to me about this thing again. Do you hear? And Moses said, you. But when Jesus appeared in the transfiguration, in the promised land, he sent Moses. He could have chosen any other person, but he sent Moses. That unanswered prayer was on his record. Do you remember Gethsemane? Do you remember Gethsemane? That cross, Jesus said, Father, and fell on his face and said, Father, left to me alone this cross. Please, let the cup pass by. But not my will, your will be done. Then he went back the second time and said, Father. And the Bible says, an angel was sent from heaven to strengthen him. Not to remove the cross. You see, Jesus created all things, visible and invisible, even angels. But as he prayed, heaven sent an angel to strengthen him. And he prayed more earnestly until his sweat was like drops of blood. That is why he could pass through the temptation of the cross safely. Because when you pray, even if God will not take away the problem, heaven will send an angel to come and strengthen you to go through it. Do you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12? All the way from verse 7, Paul says, because of the revelations God gave me, a messenger of Satan was given to buffet me. And three times I besought the Lord. Please read it for us quickly.
To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me.
A messenger of Satan to torment me. Yes.
Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me.
How many times did he plead with the Lord? Do you see a pattern? Moses, three times. Jesus, three times. Paul, three times. Sometimes we only pray once and we stop. Satan tempted Jesus three times. It means that there is a way in which in the spiritual realm, one is never enough. Two is not enough. You have to go again. You have to go again. You know, the day that Elijah prayed and rain fell, we are told that he went and fell on his knees and put his head between his thighs and cried. God himself told Elijah, I'm going to send rain today. But when he cried, he sent his servant to go and see whether there was any cloud. And the servant came back and said there was nothing. Then he went and he fell down and he prayed. He said, go again. And the boy went, said there's nothing. The sky is clear. Then he said, he went and fell again. The third time, go. No. Fourth time, no. Fifth time, no. Sixth time, nothing. The seventh time, the boy came and said, I see a small cloud like a man's fist rising from the east. And he said, yes. Go and tell Ahab to take his chariot and run quickly. Hallelujah. When you hear the story, it's like Elijah just said, cross his legs and said, Father, will you please send rain? You know, that's the impression we get when we think about prayer. We think that, is that yes. Yes. And so, you tell a lady, the spirit is crying in my heart that you should be my wife. After a year, you break the relationship and say, oh, the Lord has spoken to me, that it's not you, it's another. Look, the spiritual realm is not your, it's not for small boys. It's for people who can grapple with the things of the spirit and wrestle and give God no rest and take rest, no rest for themselves. Till he establishes what he has said. Unceasing prayer does not mean you should stop work. What will you eat? 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man will not work, let him not eat. So the same Bible which says pray without ceasing says, if you won't work, you should not eat. Therefore, pray without ceasing does not mean you should just sit down. I know a lot of people who say they are only praying when they are only sleeping. Because after praying for 30 minutes, they are tired and they are sleeping. I know people who go to work regularly, daily, but pray more than people who are full-time pastors. Recently, there was a statistic of the average American pastor, and they pray 45 minutes a day. The average American pastor prays 45 minutes a day. Then they went to South Korea. The average South Korean pastor prays 3 hours a day. In fact, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho says that if you are coming for an interview to be a pastor in his church and you can't pray at least 3 hours, he won't even interview you. He won't take you. Never. You have to average 3 hours a day in prayer before he will even admit you. Yeah, for interview. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to bring this sermon to a close. I wish I could tell you of Jacob who wrestled with an angel the whole night. I wish I could tell you about Jesus' all-night prayer meetings. I wish I could tell you about Daniel who prayed 3 times a day, even when they were threatening to put him into lion's den. I wish I could tell you about the prayer life of Paul. I am amazed that the man who wrote half the books of the New Testament, you see each one of his letters, I always make mention of you in my prayers. I will give thanks to God unceasingly for you. And we are praying for you. And I am like, they did so much work and they prayed so much. Why is it that we are doing so little? It is because we don't pray. That is why we don't have open heaven. In a typical meeting like this, you pray for people, they receive Holy Spirit, they fall down, they wrap their dresses, they get up. They don't pray again until the next time you meet them. how can we expect nations to be conquered? You see? How can we? How can we have men and women who will say, give me Ghana or I die? You know, praying Hyde, when he got to India, he was a missionary to India. He died at age 29. He got there as a missionary, nothing was happening. And he said, what? Then he gave himself to prayer. He prayed until when the missions conference was there and he was called to come and speak. You could see the hearts of every human being bowed as if Harmattan wind was consuming the grass. And he prayed until his heart moved from his left to his right. That's why he's called Praying Height. Because he was always on the floor praying. You didn't invent Christianity. When we were in Mauritania, one name they gave to Christians was those who don't pray. You see? The first convert we baptized in Mauritania, my wife was teaching at the university. So it was time for the Muslim prayer. And they went, and this boy didn't go. And so they brought him to my wife and said, Mrs. Menza, this boy is a Christian. He does not pray. Talk to him. You see, the average Muslim prays 5 times a day. Christians, they know that we don't pray. It's true, you say they pray outside. But at least pray outside, let's see. You see, let them have a record that you pray. Shall we be on our feet? I want you to take a fresh look at your prayer life. Do you pray? Do you value prayer? Do you give God no rest? Do you take no rest for yourself? Are you someone who, when you have a prayer topic, you are able to pray through until you get the result? Even if God is going to tell you no, He should say it clearly. Do you understand? If you want something from heaven, and God says, I won't give you, He should tell you clearly. You see? When Isaac got married to Rebekah, 20 years, there was no child. The Bible clearly said, God said, I swear by myself that you, Abraham, in blessing, I'll bless you like the sand on the seashore and like the stars of heaven. I'll bless you, your children. And the first child, Isaac, 20 years, his wife didn't have any child. And the Bible says, Isaac prayed. He entreated the Lord for his wife. And she became pregnant and brought forth twins. They thought that because God swore, the child pregnancy will come without a prayer. You are joking. Now, many people will tell me that God has given me the gift of apostle. You will die like that. Nothing will happen. Not a fly will take off. Because the fact that a promise, a vision, a dream has been given to you does not mean that heaven has released what they want you to do. This is the time to pray. From this place, we can actually have evangelists who will touch the whole world. We can have pastors who will shepherd the whole world. We can have Bible teachers who will be heard all over the world. We can have people with prophetic ministry, giant prophetic ministries. We can have people with healing ministries who can arrest the attention of the president of America. We can have here people with word of knowledge, which will be so powerful that presidents all over Africa will build an airport close to your house so that presidents can come and consult you. We need people who can pray and unceasing prayer and unceasing prayer so that the gifts, the calling, the ministries, the grace which God has put upon your life will show forth. But without prayer, it will never happen. seen dreams of yourself healing multitudes. You see stadiums filled with people. You are preaching to them. They will bury you. It will never happen because you have not prayed. Shall we begin to talk to the Lord?
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.